Hey, has lichen sclerosis messed with your relationships? You know, partner, family, friends, even at work? Then you need to join us at the Holistic Healing Summit this May 13th to the 17th, because we're bringing all the experts. We're going to be talking about intimacy, sex, as well as how do you talk to your family, friends, provider, boss? All of those things. And this is a free event, live, virtually, so you can catch it anywhere in the world, May 13th to the 17th, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. We've got sessions going on all day. Get more information at lssupportnetwork.org/WHS. That's lssupportnetwork.org/WHS.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for coming to listen to the Lichen Sclerosis Podcast. My name is Kathy, and I have LS. After 7 years of being misdiagnosed, getting no real answers, and finding a lack of information, I decided to start this podcast. So each week, I research or talk to someone about an aspect of lichen sclerosis and bring you the information so you don't have to go searching. I bring you the straight talk without the medical jargon. And this week, I'm so honored to be able to share diagnosis stories from brave lichen sclerosis warriors. These ladies are from all over the world in all walks of life. Each one has gone through an individual experience that's all too familiar. I wanted to bring each of these stories to you so you can know that you're not alone. Even though your experience is yours and unique, there's aspects of it that run through hundreds, if not thousands, of women all over the world that know exactly how you're feeling, because they're feeling it too. I'm going to share four stories with you. And these ladies have been gracious enough to tell us how it all started for them. I hope you enjoy. The first story I want to share is from Lena from Kentucky, U.S. I'm almost 27. I was diagnosed about 2 years ago, but have had LS for 5 years. Similar to your story, it took a long time to figure out what was happening. I was seeing my gyno and my GP for 3 years, telling them about my symptoms of intense itching, burning, and fissures. Every time I'd come into the office, though, for a checkup, my fissures would be healed and nothing would be visible. They started testing me for STDs, BV, yeast infection, etc., but every time, it always came back clear. I was telling them how I hadn't been sleeping well because I was awake all night long, scratching until I had blood under my fingernails. I was starting to fall asleep at work because LS kept keeping me up every night. They seriously told me I was making this up, and that I probably just needed to be on anxiety medication. I gave the anxiety meds a shot, but I was still having symptoms, and it was driving me insane that these two female doctors were not helping me. Instead, they were calling me crazy. I ended up doing some Googling while sitting on the toilet one night. I know how dangerous that could be, though. So I try my hardest not to go to WebMD because, well, every time it jumps you to, you have 6 months left to live. But I mean, if I'm getting bad news, at least I'm on the toilet, right? Sorry, my sense of humor is too disgusting. Well, that's when I came across lichen sclerosis, and it's said to seek medical attention from a dermatologist. I was a bit skeptical, but I kept reading, and it was like a biopsy may be needed to be performed. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not brave enough to have my vagina skin cut up. I'm going through enough pain as it is. But after another month of scratching like a maniac, I decided to set up an appointment, and I'm so glad I did. No biopsy was needed, thankfully. My dermatologist actually listened to me. He actually cared about what I had to say. Unlike those women who I thought would be more understanding, so disappointed in them, truly. He took a look, even at my asshole, which I wasn't expecting, and said it was clear I had lichen sclerosis. Honestly, I could never see anything except fissures once in a while. But he's a professional, so I know a lot of women deal with fusing, fissures, cracked skin, flaking skin, burning, itching, etc. I guess I'm one of the lucky few who have a more mild case. My treatment over the last 2 years has been using clobetasol ointment and Creve Hydrating Facial Cleanser. Yeah, you read that right. Facial cleanser. My dermatologist suggested it. Thank you, Lena, for sharing your story. She went 3 years before she was finally diagnosed. And it doesn't matter if your doctor is male or female. There's no guarantees that they're going to catch this. I'm glad that she was able to finally get an answer and she didn't have to wait the 10, 15 years that some ladies do. Unfortunately, she was on the anxiety medications and God knows what kind of side effects those had for her because she didn't need them. That's why it's super important that we advocate for ourselves and be part of the plan. And you know what your body's feeling. Don't let a doctor tell you that it's all in your head when you know you're feeling it in your bones. This next young lady shares her story from Canada. She found me on Instagram, and after DMing with her, I had to ask her to share her story. And we're so blessed to have her share her story in her own voice. Without further ado, here is Jacqueline.
Hi, my name is Jacqueline, and I'm not really sure where to start because, to be honest, I'm not really clear when this all started happening. Though I'm pretty confident that I had LS for a long time before I had my actual diagnosis. So I was diagnosed with LS about 2 years ago. 2 to 3 years prior to this, I would have painful intercourse, itching but no yeast infection, burning pain but no UTI or STI, and weird sensations. So they kind of felt like I had paper cuts all over my vulva and this would flare up randomly. This would flare for years on and off, sometimes for days, sometimes months or weeks. When this would happen, I would go to a medical clinic. As a graduate student moving cities frequently, I didn't have a consistent GP, so basically I would just see any random doctor that was available at the walk-in. And every time that I went in, I was told that everything looked fine, that there were no lesions, and I had always expected there to be some because of these stingy paper cut feelings on my vulva, and my tests would come back negative. Time and time again, same story. Closer to my diagnosis, I started to feel like I was going crazy. I felt all of these things. I thought, it can't just be in my head. There has to be more to the story. So I went to a clinic specializing in STIs and women's health. In my head, I actually prayed that I had an STI. Who does that? Well, I did, because what else could it be? And at least with an STI, I'd have an answer and a treatment plan, and maybe I could actually finally get some relief. But again, I was told, nope, I don't see anything wrong with you. I was told maybe it's multiple sclerosis, maybe you have some kind of neurological issue, or you just need to de-stress. I left feeling defeated, and I had pretty much given up at that point. A couple weeks later, I went to see my GP. At this point, I had an actual GP for follow-up on another issue completely unrelated. And I just briefly mentioned these symptoms and my general frustration and just confusion and helplessness that I was feeling. She asked me if I would mind if she examined me. She said she would feel more comfortable if she looked and evaluated herself, just to be sure that there really was, quote, nothing wrong. Sure, I said, no problem, bracing myself for the typical response. On the exam table, she took one look at me, seconds, and immediately said, oh, I think you have lichen sclerosis. She then asked me if my vulva had always looked like this. To be honest, I never really looked at myself down there, and when I was symptomatic, I was often too afraid of what I might see to look. And the reason she asked me was because by the time I got to her table, my labia minora had already fused to my labia majora. Yep, she said, definitely LS. She gave me a brief explanation of what that meant. So, it's autoimmune, you can only manage, here's your prescription for clobetasol, and here's a referral for a gynecologist to get an official, yes, this is LS. I felt a strange mix of horror, fear, disgust, confusion, but also joy and relief. A name. I had a name. Lichen sclerosis. I wasn't crazy. It wasn't all in my head. There was something happening down there. I'm grateful that I finally had an answer, but the following 6 to 9 months post-diagnosis were full of disgust, blame, shame, confusion, and physical discomfort. I've come a long way since then, and I'm really, truly grateful to have found this podcast so that I have more resources than the medical community has provided me with. Thanks for listening to my story.
First, I want to say, who amongst us has not felt that mix of joy and despair, that happiness and sadness all at the same time? Yes, we have a name, but holy shit, it's for life. You don't have some way of getting rid of this? Yeah, we get it, Jacqueline. We get it for real, for real. And once again, going through that cycle of doctors just telling us, no, it's all in your head. No, it must be this. No, it must be that. And a lot of them not even looking between our legs to see what it actually looks like. Sad, but true. The thing for me about raising awareness is I'm talking to you, and yes, you already have lichen sclerosis. You're here because you want more information. But here's the beautiful thing. You have family that doesn't have lichen sclerosis. You have mothers, and you might have daughters and sisters and nieces and friends who have vulvas. You can tell them about lichen sclerosis. You can tell them when they go to the doctor to make sure their gynecologist looks at their vulva, not just to put the speculum in and look at their vagina, but actually look at my vulva. Is it healthy? Do you see anything that should give me concern? And let them know if you are feeling anything that's abnormal, let the doctor know and don't let them dismiss it. If they're not sure, test. Test. That's what the freaking tests are made for. To test stuff. So you know. That way you don't have to guess. Because we have to live with this. And LS is progressive. The longer it takes for them to diagnose you, the worse it can get. And we do not want our family and our friends to go through what we're going through or worse. We also have to normalize looking at our vulvas, checking our vulvas, just like we check our breasts for breast cancer. We have to normalize looking at ourselves so that we know what it looks like when we're normal and what it looks like when it's not normal. And I get it. I get it can be scary. If you haven't heard the previous episode titled Why I Hesitated to Check My Vulva, But You Shouldn't Delay, definitely go back and listen to that because I discuss my own fears and my own hesitance on checking my vulva. The fear is real, but we have to work through it. We have to get through it because it's so important for us to get to the other side. This next story also comes from a brave lichen sclerosis warrior in Canada. And she gives us a deep look into the mental side of how lichen sclerosis has affected her on her journey of diagnosis and discovery. Her name is Lisa. At age 34, after giving birth vaginally to my second child, I started noticing something wasn't right. Several weeks after delivery, I was certain I had a yeast infection. I treated it with drugstore medication, and I did feel some relief. But every few weeks, sometimes even days later, I would feel yet another yeast infection coming on. I was red, burning, swollen, inflamed, and itchy and irritated. I continued treating for yeast, trying different brands, different doses, etc. But finally, after approximately 6 months, I'd had enough and I decided to see my GP. I should have gone sooner, but I had a new baby and I was healing and stressed and nursing and I just didn't make it a priority. This is something that I will always regret. My GP took one look and said, "Yes, it appears you have a yeast infection and some kind of vaginitis because you're extremely red, swollen, and inflamed." He gave me a prescription of vaginal suppositories, usually used to treat BV, and told me to apply a pin tip amount of ointment. He literally said, "Only apply what you would get at the end of a safety pin if you were to scoop it out with that." Obviously, I know this is incorrect and much more ointment is required. In addition, he gave me some pills for over the next 72 hours to treat yeast. After a week or so, I did start to feel some relief. However, the relief was short-lived. My symptoms returned weeks later. In addition, I was dealing with issues around sex. If I attempted sex, the area around my perineum, where I already tore during childbirth, would tear and the pain would be excruciating. It honestly felt like a baby was crowning or like pouring lemon juice onto paper cuts. Sex was impossible. I had to pour warm water over me while I peed until the tears healed for several days. And then even more scar tissue formed in that area. I was beyond devastated. I was ashamed and embarrassed. I couldn't fully enjoy my time with my new baby because I was so preoccupied with all of these issues. Because there was nothing more my GP could do for me, he never once mentioned lichen sclerosis. I made an appointment with my obstetrician, hoping for more answers. When I finally got an appointment with her, which was months later, she did a quick exam. She immediately said, "This is not normal. You're very pale down there and your vulva is disfigured. The architecture is completely shrunk. I think you have lichen sclerosis and vaginismus." At the time, I didn't really know what she meant, so I just sort of nodded and asked her what she recommended for treatment. She also asked me if I bathed with scented soaps and bath bombs and if I wore panty liners daily, which I don't. She wrote down the terms lichen sclerosis and vaginismus on a piece of paper and told me to look them up online. I mean, looking back, this makes me angry because she could have took the time to explain it to me. She also wrote me a prescription for cobetasol and told me to apply a water droplet amount every night for 2 months on the area that tore. Now I know this was wrong and I should have applied cobetasol to all the areas of my vulva since the whole area was pale and disfigured and had active disease. She followed up by saying that the damage is irreversible, but we could try to stop it where it is. That's it. No follow-up appointment, no discussion of sex, no discussion of mental health, no discussion of hormones or autoimmune issues. Little did I know my life would change forever after this appointment. And I'd spend the next 3 years researching, joining support groups, buying various ointments and barrier creams, getting second opinions, etc. Once home from that appointment, I sat on the bathroom floor and for the first time, I took a really good look at my vulva with a mirror. What I saw took my breath away. I can only describe it like a flesh-eating disease. My vulvar architecture was completely gone. It was like it disappeared. My labia minora was gone, shrunk and reabsorbed into the majora. My clitoral hood was also gone, and I had scarring covering my clitoris. My perineum was totally white, scarred and torn. I only wish I had looked a year sooner, so I could have monitored changes and insisted I see a vulvar specialist. The 2 years that followed were a blur of anxiety, stress, and pain. Dealing with lichen sclerosis is a full-time job, and it completely changed who I am as a person. My mood changed. I didn't want to see anyone. I didn't feel joy in other areas of my life. I probably spent 3 hours a day researching lichen sclerosis. I joined a Facebook group, which helped immensely because many of the members know more than the doctors. I learned how to apply clobetasol properly. I learned the optimum way of how to take care of myself. But has this helped? I'm honestly not sure because my LS continues to progress. Clobetasol gives me horrible yeast infections, which is very uncomfortable. So I'm trying a new ointment to see if it makes a difference. So far, after 5 weeks, I haven't noticed anything. I know clobetasol and other less potent ointments help a lot of people, and I definitely recommend them if they work for you. However, in 4 years, I haven't noticed any improvement from the day I was diagnosed. I've lost most of my labia majora now, as there's hardly any fatty tissue left, and I can't move the same. I can't sit cross-legged, I can't wear jeans, I can't stretch my legs in certain positions, and I have to be careful doing certain things like getting in and out of the car because there's no protection for my urethra or vestibule area, and my skin tears so easily. Through all of this, I've tried so hard to be a good mother to my two daughters. I try to be happy around them and smile, but inside I'm breaking. My husband and I have a strained relationship, and I have so much guilt. I've isolated myself from my friends because I feel so broken and defeated, not to mention physically uncomfortable. I feel less than, and my self-esteem is not what it used to be. My life has turned into a montage of sitz baths, applying all sorts of lotions and potions, checking myself in the mirror daily, and trying to smile through the pain. After years of suffering, I'm just starting to truly accept that this is my new normal. And I know that I'll have bad days and better days. It's not lost on me that people everywhere are suffering from invisible diseases, and this is just one of many. I hope that further research is done in this area because it seems to get lost between dermatology and gynecology, and the doctors I've seen tend to refer patients back and forth with no real answers. I'm so glad that Kathy was brave enough to start this podcast and that women are willing to share their stories and discuss this sensitive topic. Lisa, I'm so glad that you found me and that you were willing to share your story. If you are suffering from the mental health issues that lichen sclerosis can bring, please go back and listen to the episode I did on mental health titled The Mental Side of Lichen Sclerosis. And also, Do You Need a Support Group? Those are two really important episodes to help you recognize and help pull you out of that spiral. And if you're in a relationship and lichen sclerosis has just put a strain on it, definitely listen to the last episode titled How to Still Have a Great Relationship Despite Lichen Sclerosis. It's an episode for you to share with your partner, and together I give you a lot of actionable tips on how you can help still have a healthy relationship and not let lichen sclerosis tear you down. LS is awful. It is so bad. And we have to combat it every day. Not just physically with our ointments and our barrier creams and doing all of that stuff to protect our vulvas, but we have to combat it mentally, and we have to do everything we can to prevent from sliding into that deep, dark mental illness hole. Part of that is talking with others, talking with people who understand you, who understand what you're going through, And if you need somebody to talk to, please reach out to me. I can try to get you in contact with resources that might be able to help you. Or even if it's just somebody you want to talk to, just to vent to, I'm here. You can DM me on Instagram at Lichen Sclerosis Podcast. Message me on Facebook at Lichen Sclerosis Support Network, or email me, Kathy with a K, at lichensclerosispodcast.com. And if you want to talk to a whole group of us, join us on November 14th for the first Lichen Sclerosis Podcast virtual meetup. It's going to be so much fun. I cannot even wait. Sign up at lichensclerosispodcast.com/connect and stay updated and get the link when we're about to go live. I have one more quick story for you. And this is from Mary, and she's in the US. And this just goes to show how easily doctors dismiss our LS for things like yeast infections and thrush. So she says, just a little bit about me. I'm 37 and was diagnosed with LS in January of 2020. I started getting symptoms in March of 2019 after taking an antibiotic, and I thought it was just a yeast infection. My primary care physician and gynecologist just thought I was in a bad itch scratch cycle after yeast infection. But eventually, my doctor ordered a biopsy. She thought she was ruling out LS because I didn't always have consistent symptoms. But it turns out that's exactly what I had. Looking back, I think there were instances earlier in my life when I had symptoms, but they were quickly treated with an ointment and I didn't think anything about it. My symptoms are strongly associated with my menstrual cycle. It's like clockwork. Some months, I'm able to get a good week in between my period and ovulation. But as soon as ovulation hits, I flare up. For the most part, I'm hanging in there, but some days are real rough. It just impacts so many areas of your life, and no one talks about it. I also have chronic back pain. So between the two issues, sometimes I really just miss feeling like myself. Whew. Yes. Multiple chronic illnesses is not only awful and debilitating, but common. I'm actually working on an episode talking about multiple illnesses. So make sure you're subscribed so you'll get notified when I release that. You know, I think it's hilarious that her doctor was testing for LS to rule it out and it came back to BLS. But I think it's awesome that her doctor even knew to think about LS, because imagine if LS had never even crossed her mind, then Mary still wouldn't know what she was dealing with. So moral of the story is test. If they don't know, test. So did any of these stories resonate with you? Do you have similar experiences? What's your lichen sclerosis story? I would love to get more stories and continue doing episodes like this. So let me know. Share with me. You can DM me on Instagram at Lichen Sclerosis Podcast. Message me on Facebook at Lichen Sclerosis Support Network. Or email me at Kathy with a K at lichensclerosispodcast.com. All my information will be in the show notes. I hope you feel less alone. And you know that there are thousands of women out there that feel just like you. And I hope you sign up for the virtual meetup so you can meet a couple of them face to face. I hope you have an amazing week. And I will talk to you next time. Bye.